Last time on the Dice of Thunder podcast.
It's finally time to reveal to the Thunder Buddies, nay, the world.
Yeah.
Which damages 5 pylons.
Oh, Lord. This is funny
this
to
is
him.
Awesome.
This is funny to
okay.
him.
I don't like this.
I don't either. I'm afraid what's going to happen. Varg takes 26 damage.
Kal-El's dead.
Unconscious and dying.
What's going on over there?
Duval? He went into a shell.
Duval has turned into a turtle.
This is so bad.
Man, that is me. Oh my god!
What a turn, Kairos.
Wow.
My bad.
Woo!
It is Dark Knight.
You did take out some zombies. I mean,
I'm glad I didn't kill you. 15 to 17 is 32.
Please subscribe your kill.
Yeah!
You did it, Shum Follow 5.
That was a mess.
That was a little
chaotic.
Everybody gets a hero point.
Yay!
Do I hear anything on the other side? I mean, it's really loud, so I probably can't hear anything.
That's a great question. And you've unlocked the door, and I'll show you what you hear.
Just great.
As the entire room is completely filled with a massive horde of zombies.
Shut the door.
What is so going many on? That you can't even count. Roll for initiative.
No.
No.
Stop it.
Run away.
You hear the door get blasted off of its hinges the other side of the wall of flesh. More zombies? That would be crazy to put more zombies in a little room like that.
There's 100% more zombies.
Yeah.
There.
They can still blow off
We're
doors.
We're not opening doors.
And as the door bursts open.
It burst it open?
Yeah. As two hordes of zombies now have burst their way onto this scene, coming after the Shum Follow 5.
How the heck are we going to do this?
We're going to have to find out in episode 101.
Yeah, there it is.
And now, a new episode of the Dice of Thunder podcast.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to this week's episode of the Dice of Thunder podcast. And I'm wondering, everyone, do you know how to get into your own Pathfinder game?
Like how to climb into
Us?
It? Like how
yeah, like you open? Throw a ladder at a GM and...
You mean how to start one? What are we saying here?
Yeah, any of that. Like,
first
let's
off,
say you're out there and you want to play Pathfinder, but you don't have a group of 4 semi-normal people.
Why are you looking at me?
Bring into your home.
No, and the first thing you do.
My wife's dirty look was good.
Is you trick somebody into agreeing to be the GM for you.
Yeah.
And the way you do that is you buy them the first core, the player core, and you give it to them as a gift.
Right.
And then they feel obligated to be your GM.
Is that what you did with Duncan?
It was something along those lines.
It's close. It was kind of close.
I think we bought like the adventure path and we were like, here you go. You're going to learn how to play this game for us because Scott doesn't want to GM another one.
It wasn't that you didn't want to. It's that you never get to play a character.
Right.
So you finally got to play one.
Finally got to play. I'm on my second.
Yeah.
Third.
Kind of.
A lot of communities now have like gaming nights and like libraries and things like that. You can go and roll some dice and make some friends and Pathfinder it up.
Libraries do?
Yeah. There's a place. They have books there. Yeah. Libraries are.
You know, it's like a lot of paper together, and it has symbols on it.
Yeah,
those are
like
called
runes.
Words.
I'm not
can you
following.
Can you scroll on it with your finger?
Yeah, I'm not.
I don't know how many people go to the library anymore.
Like ebooks?
Well, okay, forget the library.
I-books.
They have like pop-ups and malls where you can.
Yeah, that's true.
There are a few tabletop stores around locally in our area, this is in Tacoma and South, for like Warhammer.
Ooh.
And then you go to any of the like comic book stores, often will have at least connections to groups of people who are playing.
Yeah, this is the best place in the world to be a tabletop gamer.
It really is. We've got
Northwest,
awesome. Wizards of the Coast, and Paizo headquartered here.
Like right here. You got Gabby's down south in the Lacey area.
Terracrux
right here in Tactow.
There's 6 other game stores in between those where you can go in and find a game. I wanted to ask you guys if you just knew, because our Thunder Buddies also maybe they do, maybe they don't know. And I thought it might be kind of fun to talk about that and give some tips, because my advice is to play Pathfinder the same way that you enjoy to play video games.
Explain.
Rage quit?
On a computer.
Gosh. On a computer?
On a computer.
Ah.
So if you like to do any kind of PC gaming, then Pathfinder on the computer is very easy. You can download Hero Lab and get their entire level one character builds for free. If you don't want to use Hero Lab, there's Demiplane, which has the same thing. You can build your character there, have a digital representation, or just make a paper copy of your character, have it with you next to the keyboard, get all your levels and information off of Archives of Nethys. Or
just like our granddads did it.
That's right, back in the day.
There are just a lot of resources.
I'm your granddad.
Yeah.
What? There are a lot of resources, but then what? Okay, now I have a character. How do I find a game? Well, you can go through Foundry VTT. They have a Discord, and you can find games straight on Foundry of all kinds of different people hosting their own Pathfinder game. You can join various online communities, same thing, where you can apply to be in a game or just throw your name out there and say, hey, I'm a new player and I want to play. We talked about local game stores. There's also ways to get through, like if you use Roll20 tabletop that we used to use, you can apply to be in a game right on Roll20. They have a looking for group
LFG on there?
That's cool.
Nice. Mm-hmm.
Cool.
I also feel like you could get your friends to join you. Okay, I saw this video not that long ago. And what's the actor's name who is the Punisher?
Can you be more specific?
John Bernthal?
The newest
Sigourney
one.
Weaver. John Bernthal.
John Bernthal.
John Bernthal.
Okay. Thomas Jane?
Someone's trying to get, like, explain.
It was Deborah Ann Wool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you know the video I'm talking about.
I've seen
about.
The video.
And he's like, well, what's D&D? I don't get it. And
she goes, do you want to play?
Yeah. She's like, do you want to play? And she's like, hey. You're walking in the woods. She didn't just explain it at all.
No.
She just says, you're walking in the woods. You have a bow on your back. You got a sword at your in your waist. Not in your waist, in your belt or whatever.
And you die
and
from
the
sword.
So she's like, and you hear a noise in the woods. What do you do?
What do you do?
And then it's left there.
And John Bernthal was like his, the look on his face.
Yeah.
He was like.
He was in it.
Yeah, so it's like she slapped him with a whole nother universe. It was great.
And all of a sudden, someone's participating in this collaborative storytelling, and it ends up being, like, it's way better than explaining how this works. Oh, yeah, dice, and there's rules. No. Just put them in the story.
That's awesome.
Because that's the best part about it. So what I'm saying is, do that with your friends. Literally put them in the story, and they're going to be like, I want to do more of this.
I will tell you what. If you listen to last week's episode, I was definitely in the story when I thought
deep
I
in
had
the story.
Killed everyone. At least Luton and Kal-El.
I wish I could have taken a picture. He was sitting here, Thunder Buddies, with his hands over his face.
Sweaty.
Completely hiding from Brittany.
He wasn't even near the microphone.
It was great.
It was stressful. My therapist says I'm fine.
Yeah, after a week, you've brushed
therapist?
It off. The memory's distant and far.
You are your therapist.
Of course.
Yeah.
Save a couple dollars.
He's his own best friend. To wrap that up, Deborah Ann Wool, she does do a great job. She also has a podcast where she plays Dungeons and Dragons.
Wow.
I don't like that game so much, it's hard for me to say. Dozens and Zazzins.
Yeah.
Ooh. Yeah, the shade.
Mm.
One piece of advice I will give you to close this is look for a game that is doing a Pathfinder organized play or Pathfinder Society game, because the GMs that run Pathfinder Society scenarios have to be certified by Paizo. They are trying to level their GM online presence up. And so part of that is the number of games that they run, the type of games they run, and reviews from their players.
I feel like that's a really good thing to look for, though, because it is kind of painful to be under a GM who doesn't know the rules or know what to
do. That's right.
Yes.
That's my point. And a Pathfinder Society GM has to play by the official rules. They don't get to say, well, we're not going to play with cover and there's no flanking or some crazy house rule. No, these are official games that are sponsored by Paizo. And another great thing about society and organized play is that you can level up your character and you can unlock different pieces of gear that are only available to people who play in organized play. And it's just a fun way to get out there. But once you get into it, you jump into it, it's just like playing an online game, only you're playing a tabletop role-playing game, but LFG style.
Yeah.
So get out there and play, Thunder Buddies. That's what I'm trying to encourage you to do.
What about advice for getting your spouse to play?
Yeah, don't do that.
Step one, convert a room in your house to a recording studio.
Okay.
Step two, convince her that the only way that it'll sound good is if her voice is added to the mix.
Which has been true.
None of those things are true.
Step three, buy her all the bags and Starbucks tumblers and anything else she wants forever.
That should also be step one.
Yeah.
I think that's...
What if you're doing that and she's still not playing?
No, I've told the story about this. When I was setting this all up and I was grinding in my brain over and over and over again, oh, I would really like to have a female voice on our show, and I'd really like to have a new player who's not really a big nerd, who's just getting into this for the first time. And I'm sitting there, I'm like, man, can you think of anybody? And she's like, nope. Sure can't.
She's like, check,
she just
check,
wasn't
check,
gonna no. invite herself to our yeah. game. And then I was like, well, would you ever consider it? Like 3 weeks later, after I'm racking my brain trying to figure out who else I could invite, and she goes, yeah, why didn't you ask me to begin with?
Is this a true story?
Yeah,
this is a true story.
That's it is.
Epic fail, dude.
Oh, huge fail. I had tunnel vision of the worst.
I think
worst
you assumed
kind.
That I just wouldn't want to.
That's correct. I did. Yeah. I made a
it's
terrible
a fair assumption.
But oh, y'all okay. go look at
no, it's a fair
look,
assumption.
Y'all go look for Bigfoot every year, though, right?
Right.
Yeah. That's part of the step three there.
Yeah.
No, I'm tracking. Yeah. I'm just saying that would have been like ding ding.
Yeah. There's things I get to do like
because he's not real.
Squatch Fest and the Tulip Festival that well, you don't really care about. But
I care about the Tulip Festival. I like the pretty colors.
Aww. All right.
Isn't it like one color?
What?
Wow.
No, no, no.
Tell
no,
me you've
no,
never
no.
been to the Tulip
Everybody
Festival
calm down.
Without telling me you've never been to the Tulip
I've
Festival.
I've never been.
I've never been. I've only seen pictures.
Sorry,
and
honey,
I
I'm
be there
taking
so bad.
Duval next year.
Sounds great.
I'm allergic. I'd die.
It's beautiful if you look at any of the pictures. Like the most vivid
picture.
Colors. No, you got. I think being there is probably better.
It's way better.
I don't think so.
Just plug your nose.
I know what we're doing in May.
Sitting in traffic for 5 hours is what you're doing in May.
No, baby. There's no traffic on a Sunday morning. Drive up there bright and early.
This is the makings,
that sounds horrible.
Like 6
this is the makings of a good song.
Mm-hmm.
Ew, 6 a.m.
To the Tulip Festival.
Yeah.
Some horrible country.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now I wish we had musical instruments hooked up. Greg and Jordan, you guys could jam out a country song, right?
Unfortunately,
I think
yeah.
so.
But I know that.
Not me.
I mean, if you're going to say a mid-90s country song,
those are,
count
those,
me
yeah,
in.
Those the best are the best ones.
One. Yeah.
That's the only ones.
Good old George
They've just
Street.
Been chasing that.
They have.
They've strayed far from the path, and they need to come return because it's terrible.
Well, we're not a Pathfinder Society actual play podcast yet.
Ooh.
I was going to ask you, are you certified? You got your OG status?
I don't.
Okay.
No, I don't. I'm not a registered Pathfinder Society GM.
What do you have to do?
You just have to go online and say, my name is Scott, and I'm a registered Pathfinder Society
it's
GM.
It's not like a test you have to take?
No, there's not a test. It's, there's a like agreement to follow the rules that you have to agree to.
Is there a rating system?
Oh, I honestly don't know.
I'm an ordained minister on Universal Life Church. Can I just make it happen right now?
Huzzah! Yeah.
I named the official Paizo.
Hey!
By the power invested
you look different.
Jordan. Yeah.
It feels different.
Done.
Oh, my God.
Add it to the website.
Well, with that said, I'd like to kill you guys with about 60 zombies.
No!
If that's all right.
Oh, man.
Diving Pass. Back into the...
I'm scared.
Thanks for joining us today, Forge. Thunder Buddies. We'll yeah. see you next week.
Maybe. That's it. Shortest episode ever. 10 whole minutes. Oh. We find the Shumfallow 5 on an overlook, staring down at 8 gushing turbines that are swirling and churning up the water as they turn hydroelectric energy into power for the city of Alkenstar. Kairos and Varg are standing on a 10-foot-long bridge over the top of one of these cisterns where water is rushing in from the Ustrati River. To the east, there is a wall of flesh blocking a door. Behind that door is a room, a 4-square-wide-by-3-square-tall room that is chock full of zombies. So many zombies, I can't fit them all in that room. To the south, immediate south of Kal-El, Darnayru, and Luton, is another room chock full of zombies where the door was just busted open as they made noise scampering away and crossing the bridge. In our second round of initiative, the first round of initiative ended with the clockwork zombies breaking down the door to the first room that's blocked by the wall of flesh. That means it's Darnayru's turn at the start of round two.
What?
Yeah, believe it or not. You are 10 feet away from a door where you can see inside a number of zombies.
Okay, so we're at the top of round two?
Top of round two.
Can I... I'm going to defer. I'm going to delay my turn.
All right, Darnayru delays his turn. That brings us to Kairos Duvalo, and then just tell me when you want to act, Greg.
Okay.
Okay, that door is bust open.
Yes.
They're still in the room.
Yes.
I'm casting Wall of Flesh across the...
A second Wall of Flesh being cast.
Wall of Flesh.
Wow, okay.
I like it.
And for it to go... I'm not an engineer, so... Between the open spaces. The wide open spaces.
Wide open spaces.
It's like
can't help
up.
Myself.
It's bottled
wide
up inside.
Open spaces. Episode 101.
That's all I wanted. Classic. Oh, and I got one more.
I'm not entirely sure what all that means, so I've drawn a rectangle here, and I need
that's
some...
too large. So, okay.
Do you want it to just block the door?
Just block the door.
Okay, that is a good description of what we're dealing with. Kairos has cast a 5-foot wide wall of flesh that goes from the floor to the ceiling and completely blocks the door that was burst open.
And then I'm going to concentrate, and that's my turn.
All right. Now, I will say this, just as a kind and friendly GM, you do not need to concentrate. You can take a different action if you'd like.
I'm done. I don't have another thing that I want to do.
You don't want to move into a strategic location?
I'm strategic.
You do still have 1 minute of spider climb.
I do have 1 minute spider climb. This wall that's right here... And to my 45-degree-ish, is that to the ceiling?
You are surrounded by balconies that are only waist high. The only wall that goes to the ceiling is the room that encases the zombies. And the back wall of the Hydro Forge.
Okay, so there's no like platform for me to get on top of to...
The closest spot where you could climb up to the ceiling is 15 feet down and to the right away from you. It's the north wall of the room that you guys entered into when you came down... from the ceiling.
Does it allow me space to climb on top of anything to have a vantage point?
You can climb right up standing on the side of the wall with spider climb.
Sure.
You can stand there as high up as you'd like. It's a 20-foot ceiling in this space. You can stand on the ceiling. You would just have to move over to that wall and move up the side of the wall in order to do that.
I only have a 25 movement speed.
Yeah, which means you could get over to the wall and 5 feet up.
Let's do that for now.
Okay. We'll just position you over there. 5 feet up the wall.
Shish quills come out of my calves.
Ooh.
Back into the wall and kind of inch up the wall. So my chest is facing out to the room. It's kind of hovering suspended there like a ninja.
All right. Great turn. That brings us to Luton. Darnayru continues to pass his turn.
Okay. I have questions.
Yes.
So the wall of flesh is blocking the door. Is there another door?
There is
into
a door.
The same room?
Right around the corner, not 10 feet away from Darnayru, to the same room. And then there is another door further down the hall. You can't tell if that also goes into the same room, but it does head in the same direction.
The doors are shut?
The doors are currently shut, yes.
Okay. Am I able to cast spells through the wall of flesh?
No. The wall of flesh is a solid wall. If it was like a wall of air or water... I would say air, yes, with some penalties. Water would be very difficult. It says in the spell text that it is a solid wall of flesh that you cannot see through, that you can hide from creatures if you're on the other side of it. Any of our Thunder buddies out there who've played Terraria and have thrown the voodoo doll into the lava at the bottom of the world know exactly what this is.
Spoiler.
Yeah, spoiler alert. If you haven't played and beaten Terraria.
The 20-year-old game.
Yeah.
Okay, in that case, I would like to summon an animal.
Okay.
Is it a zombie-eating animal?
I think pretty much anything she can.
How about a giant frilled lizard?
Oh, that'll do it.
Let's do that.
That sounds amazing.
Let's just try that.
Okay.
I would like to place the lizard here. I'd like it in front of the original room full of zombies.
Okay.
Just
in front of Varg?
In front of Varg, in between Varg and the... That is two actions. Three actions? Never mind. Three actions. So that's my turn.
Okay. A large frilled lizard has been summoned on the other side of the bridge from Varg. And normally it would act next and take two actions. But it has no targets. And it also follows what your intentions are. So I think it's probably taking a defensive position.
That's
right. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay. That is the end of your turn. Kal-El has a bonus action. Normally would be to move. Right now he's also in a very defensive position. Do you think Kal-El would move at all?
No.
All right. Then that does bring us to the end of your turn and the end of the giant frilled lizard's turn and Varg Kinbiter's turn.
Question. Do these stairs to the north, do they go down or up?
Those go down across the turbines in the water 20 feet away. there are stairs that descend into a lower section of the tin-wound hydroforge underneath the turbines.
Okay.
To get there, the Shumfalo 5 would have to cross a bridge to the west, which is further into the building from where they came. They came in from the east into another room that they can't see, and then across a catwalk on the north side of the building. So this is a large open space. I've mentioned the ceiling's 20 feet high. It's also like 60 feet across, where they have a platform overlooking this, you know, staring down into this churning pool of water, and then across the way is a service platform that takes them down into the depths of the tin-wound hydroforge.
And that is against that stairwell that's going down is against a wall, right?
That's correct. Okay. It is against the north wall.
And we came in down the stairs to the east.
That's correct. Those are the stairs that lead up to the roof.
So I think the stairwell to the north is where we want to go, if we want to keep going further into the hydroforge.
That looks like a tunnel, maybe. It looks like it's going right into the turbines.
Underneath the turbines, I think.
I think it goes under?
Well, that's what Scott said.
It does.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
And you can see that from your vantage point.
Perfect.
Are we able to see a door or a gate of some sort at the bottom of that stairwell? Is that out of sight?
You can't tell. It appears to disappear into a tunnel of some kind.
Okay.
It's very hard to tell because it would be facing away from you. The entrance to whatever that is facing away from you.
Okay. My next question is, did Varg catch enough of a glimpse of these zombies to roll a recall knowledge on them?
Yes.
I would like to do that first.
All right. I would need a religion check.
Religion check.
To recall knowledge is your first action. I guess they're asking some really thoughtful, like, strategical questions.
Shumfalo 5, baby.
Can't wait to find out what you come up with.
Shumfalo confused, baby.
20 total.
20 total. This is a horde of zombies that you noticed are not normal zombies, because maybe Varg has seen regular zombies, but these zombies all seem to be festooned with clockwork.
Hmm. Okay.
I like that word.
Okay. Festooned?
Festooned. That's a great one. They have clockwork parts.
So maybe electrical damage on these ones?
Can you not play with electricity anymore? Just throwing that out there.
Well,
we barely escaped with our lives.
It was great, though. But with great radio.
With a 20, I can't give you any other weaknesses, strengths, and that kind of stuff.
Okay, then I would like to position Varg in front of... You said there's another door facing the east?
Yes, it's here.
Okay, I'd like to move there and then prepare an action.
You need two actions to prepare an action, so recall knowledge and move.
Oh, shoot!
You just have one left.
Okay. Is there anything Varg can do as an inventor to maybe further seal this door or to keep it locked somehow?
You can use a thievery check to try and jam the lock or jam the door. I think that's fair.
Would it be fair for Varg to use his crafting skills to somehow reinforce the door around its hinges or the doorknob?
Yeah, I get what you're going for. Crafting is more of a knowledge than an action in combat. So in initiative, to jam a door shut would require some sort of knowledge of how locks work, which is specifically tied to thievery.
Okay, that's fair.
Don't mean to put my foot down so hard.
No, that's okay.
Right on your big puppy neck.
That's why I ask.
But there it is.
I rolled a 26 to thievery.
Oh, okay.
That's pretty good.
You are able to take the hilt of Kinflenser and you bash it right into the doorknob and lock mechanism, and you see that it deforms, and you feel good that you've added to the effort that it would take to kick that door open.
Okay. And then if I may use a free action to end my turn.
You may use a free action
to end just
your
to
turn.
Speak.
I'm ending my turn.
That is all for me.
Oh, grammar. If I may use a final free action before I end my turn.
Sure.
Varg will say...
And Greg, what's it?
Varg will say, "This foe is beyond any of us. Run!" I think we need to head for that stairwell that goes underneath the pumps. I don't think we should try to wait around to fight these. I think we should take advantage of the lizards blocking the door, the two arm barriers, this locked door that Varg just damaged, and just try to book it out of here.
I was already measuring the full distance of my movement to head down where I think we're heading next.
For the record, it is a wall of flesh.
Thank you.
Not an arm barrier.
I think arm barrier sounds appropriate, though.
I mean, it's made as a wall of flesh of arms.
Barrier o' arms.
Yes.
The visual of Kairos, like, casting these walls of arms and then just climbing up the wall.
It's pretty weird.
Yeah, it's awesome. It's
what creepy. Do you do? Yeah. Who are you? I don't even know you anymore. Yeah.
Kairos.
Okay.
Ba-ba-ba-duk.
If that's Varg's turn, then I'll take my turn.
All right. Darnayru's acting next.
So, and how long is the time on the wall of arms? Did Kairos yell that just as a check?
The wall of flesh?
Yeah.
Arm barrier.
The arm barrier.
I believe it lasts one minute. Yeah, 1 minute.
Which is
what? 1 minute.
10 rounds.
10 rounds. That's a long time.
It is a long time. Unless they snack through it.
I have a comment to make. If we leave here and go down the stairs, and then the walls expire, and then they follow us.
I'm nervous about that.
Then are we fighting something that's down the stairs and the zombies, both these hordes behind us?
We could put another wall behind us.
Okay. How many more walls do you have?
Okay. You got one more?
Uno más.
Uno más. What level spell is that?
5.
It's max 4. Level.
Yeah. Ooh, 5.
Yeah. Yeah.
5.
You know, following some like video game logic, or movie logic too. If we somehow if we somehow try to distract the zombies by something that makes a lot of noise or something really bright, then maybe that'll prevent them from following us.
You think the zombies have a squirrel complex?
Well, how long?
Most zombies do.
Vision is based on movement. It's Darnayru's turn, so I'm putting you on the clock now.
Oh, I already decided my turn.
You have to tell the rest of us.
Sorry, full 90 feet of movement. And I'm going towards the stairs, walking down towards the thing that goes under the turbines.
Yeah. Okay.
You're quick.
I will take you back to the room that you went through after your first 30 feet of movement has expired. Because puts you into this room, which is inside the dome. As you look up while you're running through there, you realize that the copper patina roof was translucent. It's actually a window.
Oh,
and you see like a stained glass set up here that looks like copper from the outside, but is quite beautiful from the inside. And I have a little bit of Cole Kronwitter that I got to read for you guys. In this room, emerald light filters through 5 floor-to-ceiling glass windows, casting the area in a viridian glow. Yeah, Cole's going hard.
That means green.
On things that people have to look up.
It's green.
Green.
Pokemon. Come on.
Several workbenches stand against the outer walls of the room, and large gears, cogs, and pipes are scattered across the room. The ceiling rises 40 feet upward into a shadowed half dome, from which hang dozens of chains and winches designed to lift heavy machinery. A half-dismantled mechanical device, as big as a merchant's cart, hangs suspended about 5 feet off the floor. And as you step into this room, you hear a voice, a weird and clockwork mechanical voice that sounds like it's coming from a loudspeaker, say, "Welcome to the Tin Wound Hydroforge. Employee orientation. Please remain still while your cranium is removed."
What? No, I don't remain still.
And blocking your path,
oh my goodness,
is a massive clockwork, horrifying machination. You see silvery threads coming out of its long, spindly fingers. This thing looks like a giant praying mantis.
Yeah, with what's the jellyfish legs on it?
Yeah, that's these long, thin, almost like hairs coming off of its fingers.
I hate it.
This looks like one of the spider mannequins from Lies of P.
It definitely does.
Do you have any other references that for
everyone
people for
a game
that people
now
have actually played?
Everyone's played Lies of P.
Fall for you.
No,
the terrible game.
What?
Whoa, no.
Oh, the edgy, like, Edgelord Pinocchio game? Is that what you wanted me to play? I'm so sorry, Greg, I didn't.
It's amazing.
I'm sure it is.
Okay, so that was just, it interrupted my second and third action. Do I lose those?
I'm just letting you know you can continue on your path, but I can't, in good conscience, let you walk through this space
right.
without offering you the opportunity, because you see this thing descend from the ceiling, blocking your path downstairs.
Well.
So you can continue by it, but it would require an acrobatics check.
Right.
And, you know, well, take one action at a time, that kind of thing.
Then I think what I'd like to do is roll a recall knowledge and then run away.
Okay.
Run back.
A crafting or arcana check.
They're both plus 15.
Ugh.
I rolled an 11. So, do I have to pick which one, though?
Yes.
Okay. I would like to pick crafting.
Crafting.
Okay. So, I rolled a 20. What is that? 26?
26.
I don't like it.
You are unfamiliar with this
monstrosity.
It is awesome. A clockwork machine. You can tell that much just by looking at it, but that's all you know.
Well, then I'm going to move right on back to where I was, right next to Kal-El. For my third action.
Okay.
What is going on down here?
A lot of
the end
disgustingness. The end.
The end of the Shumfall of Five? Is that no. Is that what you mean?
No. It's just a lot, man.
It is a lot. And now it's my turn. So this clockwork monstrosity runs up the side of the wall behind it, across the ceiling, and gets right over the top of all of you.
Ew.
No!
With one move. Two moves, excuse me. And then from there, it will strike at Darnayru.
Yeah, it will.
With a ranged attack.
It ranged? Oh, no.
As it points its clawed hand at you, and you see several tendrils, almost as fine as hair, working their way out of the fingers and heading straight toward Darnayru.
Keep your hair to yourself.
I rolled a 29 to hit.
That is a hit.
Okay.
Too much down here.
The
I'm not feeling
the
good.
The ceiling in here is 20 feet tall. The ceiling in the dome is 40 feet tall, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Darnayru takes 25 slashing damage as these metallic strings wrap around his body like the tendrils of a jellyfish.
Uh-oh.
And you are grabbed,
no!
sir.
No!
I'm grabbed. That's a lot of damage.
That is the end of its turn, and it is on the ceiling, which is 20 feet up from you guys. Ironically, Kal-El can still reach it, though. Because it's two large creatures going at it, but it is right over the top of you guys, hanging on the ceiling, now with threads coming out of one of its fingers, worming their way through Darnayru's armor and hair and around his hands and arms.
I do not consent.
Oh.
And that brings us to the Clockwork Horde's turn that was trapped in the first room.
Boo.
You hear scraping, gnawing, and chewing against the wall of flesh as it takes 23 damage from the zombie horde that is locked inside the room. The second zombie horde tears at your second wall of flesh, doing 36 damage.
Guys.
Ripping into and shredding the wall. At the same time, Varg, you hear banging on the door that you're standing next to. Just the harshest, most vicious sound. But the door holds in place and does not get broken down by your efforts. That is the end of round two.
Question.
Yes.
The zombie horde things that are near the wall within 5 feet, do they need to roll a reflex save?
In order to be grabbed?
Yeah.
The horde is grabbed.
Great.
I'm sorry, I forgot to mention that. But yes, both hordes are grabbed by the wall of flesh.
Okay, guys. All right, it's my turn. I want to It's messed up my whole situation.
Yeah, you guys have a lot going on now.
How far is this wall right here from me? 45?
35. How high up the wall are you and you're around the corner?
I'm 5 feet.
Okay, so it'd be 5, 10, 15, 20, 25, 30, 35 to the platform.
And that's farther?
Yeah, it's 40 feet away.
Okay. Dang it. We're all going to die. Okay. Here we go.
You should definitely split up, which is what it looks like y'all are trying to do.
I need to heal that wall. I got to fix that wall.
You can heal
a wall of flesh.
Yeah.
Nice.
Just add more flesh to it.
Just to confirm, you're going to use your healing spells on a summoned wall of flesh.
Yeah.
Okay.
So we can fight this thing.
You're getting big eyeballs from everyone else at the table.
That's
right
your
now.
Boo. That's your boo thing. That's you. That's all you.
Shut up.
Do your thing. Heal your wall of flesh.
Okay.
It's definitely going to have to come with you on adventures after this when you lose your whole party.
Move me 25 feet this way.
This way?
Yeah.
Legs were not an option. It's just arms.
Five, 10, 15.
How far are you going?
So I use my shin quills to edge around the wall so that my back is towards the wall and my chest is facing the open room. Right in front of me, you see all the
turbines.
The turbines, and up above, you see Mantis Man hanging from the situation. And I'm going to cast
Just Let Your Soul Cool, Baby,
and try to hit this thing.
Okay, you're shooting at this clockwork crazy mantis thing. Okay.
I am.
Spell strike.
Yes.
Yeah, so one move. Thunder Buddies, he's also above water.
I'm above water.
There's nothing below Kairos except turbine death.
That's what we do. It's like Cirque du Soleil.
Mantis Man has got to be a Marvel villain, right?
Probably. That's, yeah. I mean, in my subconscious,
yeah,
it's already there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we have the Serpent Society. Maybe there's like an insect group.
In the insect.
There's got to be.
What would you call it? The group, the insect group. It's not Serpent Society, has a nice ring to it.
Yeah, yeah.
The insect investigation.
The,
I don't know.
The Roach Motel?
Insect Inception.
The Thorax Troop. I don't know.
Wow.
That's a stretch.
That is.
But it's in the right ballpark.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're on the. Keep thinking about that. I'll, don't think about Varg's next turn.
Let me cook.
How's a 24 to hit?
That is a miss.
I figured so. That's my turn.
All right.
That sucked!
That brings us to Luton.
So I'm going to command Kal-El to attack with his jaws.
Okay.
So 34 to hit.
That is a hit.
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah.
So 2d6 plus 8 piercing.
Okay.
So I got 10 on the dice plus 8, so 18.
18 damage.
Piercing.
All right, Kal-El leaps up, standing on his hind legs and clamps his jaw down on the arm of this creature. His arm was out extended as it was wrapping up Darnayru.
Yeah, I don't think he likes the creepy crawly mantis thing on the ceiling above his head.
You hear the sound of his teeth grinding on metal.
Oh.
And you realize that it didn't have quite the effect you hoped. And Kal-El still has one action that you can command him to take.
Hmm. Okay, I'm just going to have him claw then.
Okay.
It still did damage.
Just the next attack.
Just not much as I would like.
It did damage.
Okay. Okay. Claw next. 19 on the dice.
Hey.
Wow.
Plus 12.
31.
31.
That's a miss.
Oh.
Wow.
Whoa. Wait, didn't she roll 30? She rolled 34 last time?
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
31 is a miss.
Okay. That sucks.
What would you like to do with your next two actions?
Cry.
Run away.
You said when he crunched down, it was metallic?
Yes.
Okay. How about heat metal?
Yeah. Mm.
All right. What do I have to do? I think I need to roll a save against heat metal.
Oh, it looks like a reflex save against my spell DC?
Yes, which would be 27. So I need to make a reflex save against heat metal.
With less than 27, please.
But you have to use this die.
I rolled a natural 20.
What?
Oh,
on the thunder
God.
Die.
That's why I said you have to use this one.
I refuse to use that die for any reason.
All right.
The Balnor killing die.
Wow.
So nothing happens to the creature as your spell hits it, but it resists it completely.
Okay, that was my last action.
The giant frilled lizard now takes two actions, which it does not have access to the zombies, as they are behind a wall of flesh. It can certainly move across the bridge and join the fray. Would need to squeeze over the top of Darnayru.
Do I have control of it, or is it?
Yes, it's a loose yes, but we'll just say yes.
It only has a 10-foot reach.
That's fine. That's a great thing. That's like Kal-El, so it can squeeze over. Here's where I'm getting a little fast and loose with the rules. Technically, that creature would need to stand half over the balcony's edge.
It's a lizard,
and half next to Darnayru. In order to not end its turn in Darnayru's square.
Okay.
Okay? Which is per the rules. So I'm going to place it like it looks like it's halfway off the balcony, but in reality, it's just squeezing into that spot.
Okay.
Which it uses its full move action in order to do that. Totally legal. And it's within 10 feet of this clockwork creature now and can strike.
Okay. Can I use the tail action because it has bludgeoning?
Yeah.
Instead of piercing?
Sure.
Okay. So it says plus 16. Am I rolling a d20 for this?
You are.
Okay.
This is just like Kal-El.
19 on the die.
Oh, that's
pretty
good.
Plus 16.
That's 35.
Okay.
And that is a hit.
All right.
So 2d6 plus 7.
9 plus 7.
So 16 damage. You notice again that the hit is mostly deflected by the clockwork body.
So slashing, piercing, and bludgeoning doesn't help against this thing.
And that brings us to its turn.
Oh, God.
And
already?
Greg's eyes snapped open. I heard them.
Are getting sad.
I felt the air pressure. And the reason it goes before Varg and Darnayru is because it rolled a much higher initiative, but entered the combat when Darnayru passed. So when you bring an enemy into combat for the first time, it always acts at the end of the round and then takes its normal spot initiative on the next round.
Well, and that's unfortunate.
It is unfortunate, and it's also its turn. It points a clockwork finger over on the wall opposite to the north at Kairos Duvalo as tendrils of silver let loose from its fingers, and it does a ranged attack from its position on the ceiling on Kairos.
It's Maul Jury.
38 to hit.
Wow.
Is it 10 over? That's a critical?
10 over is a crit.
That's a crit.
Okay.
Oh, no.
32 damage to Kairos, who is also grabbed by the strings as they wrap around him.
How many strings does it have?
I would need a successful knowledge check in order to answer that question. But for its next two actions, the first one is going to reel in Darnayru as it yanks and starts to literally reel you in to its hands.
Oh, no.
I don't so get a save against this?
So he's catfishing?
I need you to... I need your fortitude DC.
Oh,
16.
He is cat fishing.
Thank you.
I like that. I like that a lot. Too much, probably.
16's my fort.
Okay, so 26
is the DC? 26 is the DC. What's bad is when he starts to pull in Kairos.
I hate this.
15. So that is a failure. Darnayru is not reeled in. On its next action, it's going to try to reel in Kairos. What is your fortitude DC?
200? 15.
So 25, trying to reel in Kairos. 12.
Oh.
Kairos, you feel the tension as this clockwork machine is trying to pull you off the wall with the tendrils and these little threads, these fine metal threads that have wrapped themselves around both you and Darnayru. At the end of its turn, a little hatch opens up on its belly and a swarm of clockwork spiders
and
winged insects fly out into a massive cloud.
What is going on?
Because I'm in too deep and I'm trying to keep all the above in my head.
Instead of going under.
That's filling the whole room.
Yeah, it's a 30-foot aura of clockwork swarm. Cloud of flying spider-like clockworks surrounds this larger machine. You get the feeling that you're not going to be too safe if you end your turn in that swarm.
I hate spiders.
It is Varg Kinbiter's turn.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but on our last episode, I had attempted an overdrive, but failed.
Yeah, a natural one.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, which means you cannot attempt for a minute, I think.
A full minute.
Yeah.
Yep.
In this room, you did that?
You did that
right on the bridge.
Right on the bridge, standing on the bridge.
And you call yourself an inventor.
I know, right? I thought I was. I thought Varg was. I feel like we need to get out of here. If Varg positions himself in between the wall of flesh and the bridge to the west,
yes,
can my party squeeze by me?
Yes, yeah. Your party can move through the same square as you with freely without any penalty.
Okay. Varg would like to rage because I failed to rage on my first turn when we started this hole.
What do you mean you failed to rage?
I never said Varg is raging. Did I? I don't think I did.
When we rolled for initiative?
Yeah, at the end of last episode. I don't recall Varg raging.
I'm pretty sure that you did. Maybe you didn't. I don't have that episode memorized, but...
Neither do I.
Because we had the same issue when you started the fight against the clockwork zombies on the roof, or the shock zombies on the roof.
Right.
And we said you raged right away. It's a new ability, so if your intent was to rage at the beginning of combat, yeah, you need to remember, but I'm not going to penalize your entire character. The reason I think we did say you rage is because I remember reminding everybody that overdrive does not have the concentrate trait, so you can do it while raging. And so I think you're raging.
Okay.
I think that's fine.
Okay. I will take it then. In that case, then Varg will move to that square in between the wall of flesh and the bridge.
All right.
On the west. And then I'm going to attempt a megaton strike on this thing.
Okay.
For my last two actions.
Swing away.
10 on the die, 28 to hit, which is a miss.
That is a miss.
That's my turn.
Okay.
That awesome. Brings us to Darnayru.
The very first thing I'm going to do.
And?
Yeah?
I need a reflex save from Varg as the clockwork spider swarm gets in your armor and your...
Fur tuskies.
And this is not considered a spell.
This is not considered a spell.
Okay. 26.
26 is a failure.
Perfect.
You take 25 damage.
Oh my gosh.
As the swarm starts ripping apart your flesh.
What?
25.
Perfect.
We're all going to die.
Piercing damage, if it matters.
The only thing you're piercing is my heart.
Darn Iru.
For my first action, I would like to roll an acrobatics to attempt to escape.
Okay.
I'm going to use a hero point because I rolled a 5.
You are sitting on 3 of those.
I am sitting on 3.
What?
5 is unnecessarily low. Rolled another 5.
Oh my gosh.
Incredible.
So I'm going to use another hero point. I have to get away from this thing. Okay. This thing doesn't want me to get unsaved. I rolled a 10 plus 21 is a 31 to escape, please.
You fight against the metal bindings that have wrapped themselves around you. Thin, small metal strings, almost like spider's web. And it holds you firm. As a 31 is a failure to escape.
What?
31 is a failure, and that is counts as an attack action. I am going to... Man, I don't like this at all. Okay, I'm going to throw this idea out there as another way to escape. Use Blink Charge. It has the teleportation trait. Does not have the move trait, and you can't move if you're immobilized, which I am. It has Concentrate, Force, Occult, and Teleportation. Can I teleport away? Because it lets me teleport to a square I can see that's adjacent to a creature I'm attacking. So I could teleport technically next to Varg, do my strike on it for my last two actions.
Yeah, I think that's a pretty clever way to escape. I'm going to say that that's allowed. Teleport okay. Does not have the move trait. The only thing you cannot do while grabbed is move. That all sounds above board to me.
I was trying to read all the traits to make sure.
Okay. No, thank you. I think that as long as you didn't leave out one that says you can't teleport while grabbed, then I think we're good.
No, I didn't. At least when I read all the stuff on Escape, it didn't say that.
You should make a condition, though, that he has to talk like Nightcrawler in a German accent.
Yeah,
that's going to be poor. Okay, let me make sure that I'm doing all this
people
right.
People see who wraps up who it ends.
I love Nightcrawler.
Okay, clockwork mechanism.
Okay, so I will teleport to the space right behind Varg.
All right, on the bridge.
On the bridge. And that still puts me in, you know what? How high is he?
Still in the cloud.
Am I out of range? Can I not reach him because he's on the ceiling?
Yeah, you can't. Oh, I don't even think Varg can hit him. Do you have reach?
Oh, that's a good point. I forgot he was that high up. I only have 5 feet.
Yeah.
If he's not hanging down.
He's not hanging down. He's on the ceiling. It's a 20-foot high ceiling. You have to have reach in order to hit him.
Yeah.
So, Lala, you finish your turn, but we're going to retcon Varg's two actions.
Sure.
See if he does anything different.
Do you want me to just hold on my turn and redo that?
Nope, okay. Finish your turn.
Is it possible to do the blink and just fall to the floor?
Underneath him?
Yeah, because it says I have to be in a square adjacent to the creature.
I believe that the ability also has like target and a strike attached to it.
It does, but if I'm out of... I can't hit him, though, if I'm not on the ground. Or if I'm on the ground, I can't hit him.
You can teleport to a space next to him, hit him, and then fall to the ground.
So it'd be like hitting him on my way down?
Yep.
Okay.
That's pretty dope.
The only bummer is I take it at my first map.
But... second map.
Second map, I mean.
Yeah, and you have catfall?
I do.
So this will not hurt you? Pretty clever turn.
Okay, so that means I am rolling to strike to see if I hit him.
Throws his dice to Yakima. Goodbye, dice.
Red wine's been bad. Okay, let's see.
Redemption time, red wine.
Which I'm no longer grabbed then.
That's correct.
So I have to
make sure you turn
that
condition off.
I didn't roll great.
This is intense.
Stressful. Oh, it's a 23. That's not a good roll.
That is a critical miss.
There we go.
You fall to the ground, you don't take damage.
I teleported. But you want me to hit all the shots I make?
You do get a hero point.
Oh yeah.
That was excellent.
Oh,
and
my gosh.
You stayed in the
I'm in the goo.
In the danger zone, so you will be needing to roll a reflex save at the end of your turn.
And that would be because I had one attempt, and that was a 2-action cast, so this is the end of my turn now. So you said reflex?
Yes, please.
Oh my goodness. 26. Red wine, what are you doing to me?
26 is a failure. You take 27 piercing damage.
My goodness.
From the swarm.
2 hits. I'm down to 46 health.
That brings us to the end of Darn Iru's turn. It is now time for the first clockwork horde that continues to gnaw and chew and bite at the wall of flesh. Zombies, they love flesh. Jordan, what are those two actions that you want to do?
The first thing I want to do is a recall knowledge on this guy.
I need a crafting check or an arcana check. Ooh, he's got the crafting.
I do, and hopefully this will do it. 35 total.
35 is a success.
Yes!
This horrifying clockwork abomination, maybe you've, while perusing the library, in the Bri Library, the Briberry.
Yeah,
While perusing the Briberry, I can't remember what it's called. They should have called it the Briberry. Scotty D's Briberry. You came across an entry for something called a clockwork puppeteer.
This certainly fits the description.
This creature, being clockwork, has a weakness to electricity and or a chalcum, or however you say it.
That's how I say it.
Or a chalcum.
That's exactly how I would say it.
It is resistant to physical damage except from or a chalcum or adamantine, meaning it has the highest form of physical damage resistance.
Wow.
So
okay.
Weakness 10 to electricity, weakness 10 to or a chalcum, and resistance 10 to physical damage. So I don't know who was giving out the don't use electricity bad advice on this fight. But they should probably go home early.
This is not fair, Cole Cronewitter.
Putting zombies that are strong to electricity on the roof and ones that are weak to electricity inside?
Yeah, or just, yeah.
It has the horrifying ability to create an undead puppet. If it lashes its tendrils around a dead creature, it can take control of their mind.
Whoa. Okay.
Its swarm requires a reflex save to avoid damage, a basic reflex save. You guys already know that. Just reading down the list here. The other thing is the clockwork puppeteer has a level of autonomy that is not common with most clockwork. So it has what is basically virtual intelligence, an assumed version of clockwork free will.
What?
Mindless, but capable of reason and the ability to make choices independently. However, the appearance of free will is merely an illusion. The puppeteer's clockwork brain is so complex that it bears a powerful semblance of agency, and only the rarest clockwork engineers are able to even attempt such a feat.
Who's better than Gattleby?
Varg.
I mean, that's true. I mean, on paper.
Yeah.
So there's a horrifying recall knowledge success roll. You have one more retcon to action, Varg.
So it kind of makes you feel like you could reason with it, but then it would be unsuccessful by that definition?
Right. Like, you can't override its will, because it is not free will. It's just the illusion of free will from its complex clockwork brain.
I mean, I would love to use one of my electric spells from my jolt coil, but those need two actions.
Here's what I want to do. I want to give you your move back, because the only reason you moved was to get over there to strike, which you couldn't do, and I should have been a better GM. If you start your whole turn with a recall knowledge, you still have two actions left, in my opinion.
I mean, I'm not going to say no to that.
I think that's the only just way to handle this, so...
Makes sense to me.
Do I have a line of sight on this thing if I throw a lightning bolt at it?
You definitely do.
I'm going to throw a lightning bolt at it.
Two actions. Power up Kinflenser using the jolt coil with a lightning bolt. Because it's on the ceiling, it will miss your friends. I need to roll a reflex save.
You do.
What's the DC?
The DC is 24.
Is that you're committing to that? That way
yeah,
of saying
I'm committing
it.
To that.
All right, cool. Critical success.
No!
Not because of the way you said it, but because I rolled an 18 on the thunder die.
All right, nothing happens.
I am undamaged by your lightning strike. That is the end of your turn. We'll keep you in initiative ahead of Darnayru.
Okay.
Thank you, Thunder Buddies, for hanging on to that live retcon.
Hey.
We're getting so good at them, eventually we're going to be able to prevent them all together. And through the magic of radio, I might make it sound like that never happened.
Ooh.
Ooh. I know, right? Huh. The first clockwork shambling horde is now going to start chewing and gnawing and pawing at that first wall of flesh. Which, by my count, has 52 hit points left.
They are grabbed, aren't they?
They sure are. The horde of zombies that are up against the wall are grabbed by the wall.
And so you're rolling to escape it?
No, I'm rolling to damage it.
They're eating their way through the wall
as
they're grabbed.
Do you think that I can't do that because I'm grabbed?
Well, in my mind, there's one horde element in front of other horde elements. So how can those horde elements that aren't grabbed bite and claw when one's being grabbed by the...
Couple reasons. I'm happy to explain it to you because I want you to understand what's happening. This is a swarm.
Okay.
Like, so when you say horde element, it is 40 zombies packed into a room, falling over themselves to chew their way out.
Right. So these icons don't pay too much attention to that.
The icons represent just the general size of the horde.
Okay.
Which is a 4x4 box is what Duval's talking about.
Please proceed.
I'm glad you're asking these questions because the other thing is, too, being grabbed does not make you unable to attack.
I think we need to talk about that because it took me a while to figure that out.
Yeah. If you're grabbed, you can attack. You just take a penalty to your strikes. And yes, if somebody had you by the shirt collars, you could still deck them in the face.
Or cry.
Or if, a horrible clockwork puppeteer has wrapped its evil tendrils around you, there's nothing stopping you from shooting it with a bow and arrow. You just take a -2 to your attack.
But I can't move, though.
That's correct.
Yeah.
That's stupid.
Unless you break the grab. Which my horde of zombies is not trying to move.
They're trying to put ranch dressing on my wall.
They do 24 damage to the first wall of flesh.
Dang. So there's like 23 left-ish.
28.
Ish.
Yeah, you were in the ish.
Public school, baby.
I dig it. That's the end of its turn. The second shambler horde is going to gnaw at the wall of flesh.
Nom, nom, nom.
That wall has 6 hit points left.
Oh, my gosh. The one where everybody wall is.
Right next to all of you.
Oh, yeah. Lovely.
In addition, Varg, the door in front of you starts to splinter. You see that it's weakening. They're breaking through it now, not trying to just open it. But you hear this zombie horde on the other side of that door pushing its way through multiple exits out of that room.
Guys.
You think you have 2 more rounds before it can break down the door, but the wall of flesh may not be around then.
And the 2 rounds is just a guess.
No, that's
a certainty.
I'm giving you that with your crafting and your abilities. You know that that door has got 12 seconds left before it comes down. That brings us to the end of round 3. The top of round 4 begins. Kairos.
Remember when everybody was laughing at me for wanting to heal the wall of flesh?
Still laughing.
Remember, I'm the guy who almost killed everybody, kill everybody.
I feel like it would damage it.
The heal?
It's not undead. It flat out says in the spell text you can heal the wall of flesh with a heal spell. I'm not...
Dude, I wrote half the game. Come on.
Yeah. The other half he doesn't know at all. But the half he knows, he knows.
He's got wall of flesh down.
Down.
So I want to use a move action to try to get away from this thing, right? I can...
It's an escape action. It's one action to escape, yes.
All right.
There is a DC. You use your athletics or your acrobatics to escape
attack.
Or you can attack the tendrils directly. Either one.
You said athletics or...
Athletics, acrobatics, or a strike against the tendrils, but you can't shoot an arrow at a thread. So I would just caution you against that, as in it may be immune to all types of damage other than slashing.
So I'll be using my perception data then to do this roll.
What are you trying to do?
I'm trying to get a break away from it.
Athletics or acrobatics?
Oh, athletics. It's one of those two.
Whichever is higher, you can pick.
Athletics. I don't have acrobatics. That ain't it. 19 total.
That is a critical fail.
So what happens now?
You're re-grabbed.
It's
worse than that.
You don't get free, and you can't attempt to escape again until your next turn.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, so the rest of your 2 actions, normally you would be able to repeat escape attempts.
Yeah.
You cannot do that.
What about I use a hero point?
Mm. Okay, there we go.
Yeah.
Natty 20, baby.
Nice.
Natty 20.
Yes.
Natty 20.
You get free and removed.
Rip yourself loose from... I got it, Craig.
Okay. I just had it pulled up.
No, that's good. I also have it pulled up.
Perfect.
I'm just super dramatic today. So you rip yourself loose from these metal threads that are coming out of the fingertips of this clockwork puppeteer, and you are free with your first action.
Man, feels so good to be free, everybody. Let me tell you. I just want to move.
And
I feel good.
No, he gets a free stride of 5 feet.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. You have a free 5-foot stride.
Hey, and I want to go right over that platform.
Okay.
And that'll be my last move action. And then I want to try to shoot this thing with an arrow.
All right.
But not just any arrow. Oh, I'm not charged up, huh?
You have not concentrated since your last spell strike.
All right. Well, we're just going to kick it old school. And we're going to go with...
over the back of the head. Trick shot.
Yeah.
This is dumb. All right.
Can't believe you rolled a natty 20.
Me neither.
That's incredible.
That never happens.
What a great use of your hero point.
That's not far enough.
Right?
I'm going to go with that's not far enough.
What are you trying to do?
Hit it with something that's going to hurt it.
30 feet of range? Oh, well, you only have 1 action left.
I got 2 actions left.
No, you...
He attempted to escape, and he got a critical success.
Oh, that's right.
Forgive me.
You're forgiving.
How high is he away, though? Or
doesn't matter.
Kairos is even, because he's never descended the wall. It doesn't really matter. I don't really do the Pythagorean theorem in my games.
Cool.
I just count if you're in the sky, you got to have reach to hit somebody.
Perfect.
Pythagoras, get out of here. He wouldn't play a Pathfinder anyway. Pythagoras would be like a Call of Duty guy.
What a square.
Just brain dead.
I'm going to go with Holy Light.
Drooling.
That joke was gold.
What, a square?
Yeah.
No,
come on.
Because Pythagoras is a triangle guy.
Come on.
No, you're a genius.
Okay.
Holy Light?
Your jokes are too smart.
20 to hit.
Holy Light has a roll to hit? Okay, yeah, that's right, because you usually put it on an arrow. Yeah, that's a critical miss. Sorry.
Oh, but I don't lose the...
You lose the casting of the spell. Absolutely. You cast the spell, it failed, you lose the power.
For the listeners, Duval's jaw just like Looney Tunes onto the desk.
His eyeballs popped out of his head.
Ooga. All right, that's my turn.
It's more like, oh.
You also take 23 damage as you took your 5-foot stride to get into the 30-foot circle.
No, I didn't.
Yes, you did.
How am I in a 30-foot circle?
You're in the 30-foot circle.
Because it's in the square?
Yeah, you're one square in the 30-foot circle of spider swarm with that movement.
Don't I need to roll? But it's like barely it.
You do need to roll a reflex save.
This is true.
You are in it by one square, but you need to roll a reflex save.
Man,
it does from the map's perspective. It really doesn't look like he is.
I know.
Okay, but just making sure.
I got GM vision over here, and it definitely is.
Okay, so I pass this reflex save. I don't have to take any hit points, right?
If you critically pass this reflex save, you don't have to take any hit points. That is correct.
All right, so reflex save 39.
You know what? Hold on.
29.
Hold on. Yeah,
I'm not in it.
You're not in it.
Thank you.
You guys see that other circle on the map, right?
We do not. We only see the one that ours is a black outline, not a yellow.
Yeah. You're good. Forget all that.
No, we're good. I forgive you.
I'm going to say that's the end of your turn. That brings us to Luton. Kal-El and a giant frilled lizard.
Let's discuss my swift mount saddle.
As a free action, you can mount Kal-El.
She's already on him.
No, she's not on him.
She did it last episode and when she went across the bridge.
Oh, that's correct. Sorry.
Can I command Kal-El to move back across the bridge? And then how many actions does that leave me if I'm mounted?
You would still have two actions. As you're riding him, you command him to move, and you would ride with him, and that's only one of his movement speeds to get across.
So. Okay. I would like to ride him away.
I know what the problem is.
What's the problem?
Sorry, about the spider swarm. The 30-foot aura, it emanates from the creature, not from a point. This circle is one I drew. You are in that 30-foot aura.
Okay, so I failed my roll. So how many points?
23 30? Damage.
Gross.
And if you want Kal-El to be out, you need to move him 5 foot more.
Okay. I'm gonna die.
Which is still only one action.
Okay.
Die!
And then I would like to cast Lightning Bolt on the Clockwork Mantis.
You can do that without hitting anybody from where you're at. Yes, Darnayru breathing a sigh of relief because he is adjacent to this creature, but it is a large creature.
Okay.
And you can do that. I already checked.
I would like to cast...
I just need to roll a reflex save, yeah?
Yes.
I passed my reflex save. That's it. Just a pass.
Okay.
So you hit it. What level of lightning bolt did you cast?
4.
Okay.
Going so that's for the... 5d12. So you take half.
Yeah, I'll take half.
Okay.
Plus 10, because it is weak to electricity as a clockwork machine. It's been a minute since you guys have had to fight a clockwork.
Yeah.
It has.
I don't like them. I never did.
It's a good thing we chose this adventure then.
27.
All right, so that's 13 damage plus 10, so 23. Very good, Luton.
Okay.
I think that's the first damage we've done to this thing.
No.
There's some biting happening.
There's been some Kal-El chewing.
That's right.
That has gone through its damage reduction.
And then the lizard?
Yeah, the lizard would just step in. Actually, I don't even...
It's got 10 feet of reach.
Yeah, it doesn't even have to move, so it can take 2 attacks, if you would like.
Nice.
Against the clockwork puppeteer.
Let's attack giant frilled lizard. What is a giant frilled lizard?
It's an iguana. It's like one of those... I always picture those lizards that run on 2 legs.
Yeah.
You know, they have the frilled head and they kind of...
They run across the water.
Yeah, they run across the water and stuff. Only this one's...
Enormous.
The size of a horse.
Isn't that called a skate? No?
I think so. Google it.
I don't know.
Oh, Firefox it or whatever you do on an Apple.
On an Apple.
Okay.
Safari it. Hey, how appropriate. Go on a safari and tell us about the frilled lizard.
I like it.
What you got, Luton, to hit?
23.
23 is a miss on the... Jaws attack with the giant frilled lizard. Let's get a tail strike. It is agile, so it's a plus 12 on this roll.
14.
26 is a miss.
Okay.
That brings us to the clockwork puppeteer.
This is going terribly.
What to do? Doesn't like that Luton got away, but has a lot of other problems present. Also, as a reminder, Varg, the jolt coil charges up Kinflunser now, right? Does electrical damage?
Correct.
Okay.
Too bad lightning bolt's not an auto hit.
I know.
That'd be nice.
We're going to do a melee strike against Darnayru, who escaped the tendrils but is now in melee reach of the clockwork machine, which is frustrating because you're not in melee reach.
I'm not. It's a sad part about reach.
28 to hit.
That's a hit.
24 damage to Darnayru.
I don't like
slashing.
It.
Now a ranged strike against Varg.
Tim the Toolman just showed up.
Maybe he can help you guys win this fight.
Oh my gosh.
No, he'd make it worse.
Yeah.
That was his whole bit, right?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
That's an old show.
The ranged strike against Varg is a 27 to hit.
Man. Oh yeah, that's a hit.
All right. 23 damage, and you are grabbed as silvery metallic tendrils wrap themselves around your hyena body. For its last action, it's going to try to reel you in. 21. I'm not getting very good rolls on the fishing move.
Nice try.
That is the end of the Clockwork Puppeteer's turn. So, Varg, it's your turn, and remember, you are grabbed.
I did not remember that. I remember rolling a check for that, but I thought that was because I was in the swarm.
You got attacked by a ranged strike, which automatically grabs you when you're hit.
Thank you. Okay.
It's all good.
Well, I have that condition check now. In that case, then, I will make an attempt to break free.
Athletics or acrobatics?
That will be athletics for Varg. 36 total.
Whoa. Varg breaks free from the tendrily grasp of the Clockwork Puppeteer for his first action.
Nice.
Can electric arc be aimed upward?
Oh, sure, yeah.
Okay, that's what I'd like to do
then
next.
I will then roll a reflex save. Oh, no. I believe I pass the 27.
Yes, you do. You pass by 3.
Does it take half damage then?
Is it is a half damage, yep.
Regular success is half damage. Okay, this is 64. Not too bad. This is 17 damage.
That's
amazing.
That's pretty good. So 8, but it's weak to electricity. So that actually does 18 damage to
nice.
The
sweet
Clockwork Puppeteer. You also notice that the electricity arcs into the room holding the zombie horde.
Oh, no.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
But what happens?
And it was 19 was the damage roll?
18 total.
18 total. Okay. You don't know what happens, but it happened. And that is the end of Varg's turn, bringing us to Darnayru.
Okay.
This is what I'm going to do. I got this cool new armor that I put on before we came down here. This armor gave me the ability to cast Thunderstrike.
It did.
At a DC 29.
Wow.
Is what the armor says, which is actually like one or two higher than my normal DC. So I'm going to do that first. It's a two action casting of Thunderstrike.
I passed my save.
Okay, now I'm going to roll some damage, which is 2d12 plus electricity plus 2d4 sonic.
Okay.
I'm using the dice roller on here to do it. I only rolled 15 damage.
That's fine. It still does 25. Because it takes that extra 10 from the electricity.
And I can cast that once per hour. So let's hang out for an hour in this combat.
Yeah, just
so I can cast
hide
it
in the other room.
With my next action, I will move toward where Kairos is at the bottom of those stairs.
Okay.
Which gets me to the corner of that catwalk.
Move around the corner of the catwalk.
Wait a minute. Catwalk?
Cat walked around? Yes, he did.
Ba-da-bing.
That's the end of your turn? We're going to deal with some clockwork nom-noms.
Oh, no.
As the first clockwork horde, right next to Luton and Kal-El, gnaws its way through the wall of flesh, leaving only 4 hit points.
Oh, man.
Luton, you can see through the holes in the wall of flesh at the horde of zombies that lingers beyond.
Does that mean I can shoot spells in there?
Not yet.
Okay.
Flavor holes.
Fine.
The second wall of flesh now takes its turn. What are you jangling over
I
there?
I have to roll a reflex save.
For what?
You're
in the spider swarm. Thank you. About to be unconscious, Darnayru.
Oh, 35.
A 35?
That should be okay.
Yeah, that's a pass.
And successes are critical successes on reflex saves.
Oh, then you are not damaged.
Sweet.
Look at that.
Nice.
The second wall of flesh disintegrates as it is ripped through by the zombie horde, which now no longer has anything standing in its way. But that is its turn.
Oh, no.
It does not move out of the room, but the way is now clear. That brings us to the end of round 4 and the end of episode 101.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Oh,
gosh.
This is a terrible place to pause.
It is a terrible place to pause. What do you think is going to happen, Shum Follow 5? What do you guys feel? How are you feeling after that intensity?
Terrible, but I think the zombies and the puppeteer are going to eat each other.
Yeah, the puppeteer's not controlling the zombies at all. Great instinct, Greg.
Wishful thinking.
I think it's going to be love at first sight for the zombies and this puppeteer, and they're just going to walk away and give up their ways of violence.
Yeah.
There you go.
Brittany's ready to leave.
She's like fireball.
Unpacked. She packed up.
Fireball.
All right, well, we'll see you next week, Thunder Buddies.
Stressful. We'll be right back.
Dice of Thunder and the Dice of Thunder podcast uses trademarks and or copyrights owned by Paizo Inc. used under Paizo's community use policy. We are expressly prohibited from charging you to use or access this content. Dice of Thunder and the Dice of Thunder podcast is not published, endorsed, or specifically approved by Paizo. For more information about Paizo Inc. and Paizo products, visit paizo.com.